Today I want to talk to you about the priority of God's Word. And here's what I know. It seems like the older I get that even summertime, like in summer, I used to think that, man, it was like, you know, they referred to summer as the lazy, hazy days of summer. But it doesn't matter. It seems like it doesn't matter whether it's winter, spring, summer, or fall. Most of us, and I don't know if you're like me, but most of us never actually get the stuff done that we want to get done. Is anybody else like stay busy beyond like overwhelming, like busy, busy, busy? And it's like it's summertime. It's like we should be able to actually take a little bit of a break, and yet that's not really what takes place. Our schedules, our duties at work, responsibilities in the home, they tend to crowd much of our lives, and we get so busy doing all these other things that, I mean, even think about it, we expel energy sleeping. I mean, there are things that we have to do. We have to sleep, we have to eat, and hopefully, I pray that you are actually exercising some personal hygiene along the way. Those are necessary things. But it doesn't matter whether it's our duties at work or responsibilities. It doesn't matter whether we're pulled aside with other things. I mean, we think about sporting events, TV, music. Anybody have one of these? It's called a honey-do list. Honey-do lists. Here's something else that consumes a lot of time these days. If I was preaching this message 20 years ago, I would not have had to mention this one. But social media. Man, do you know how much time you can waste on social media? I mean, I think I shared some statistics a few months ago that there are some age groups that are wasting 56 hours a week on social media, and yet we don't have time to read the Bible. We can go shopping. In fact, I mean, the best thing for me about shopping is that I can sit down in the center of the mall and eat a pretzel. Listen, man, you want to go shopping, I'll support you all you want. Just get me a cinnamon pretzel and I'll sit down and be fine. But think about it. It doesn't matter whether it's shopping, whether it's sporting events. It makes no difference. If we're not careful, other things creep in and they become more important than God's Word. So what about our relationship with the Lord? How do we, you know, we talked about a month ago about cultivating encouragement in our church. Well, how do we cultivate the most important relationship that we could ever have? I mean, one would think, I cultivate the relationship with my wife. That's the second most important relationship you have, sir. I cultivate the relationship we have with our kids. That's number three on my list. Sorry, kids. I'm a kid too, so guess what? I would say the same thing for my dad. Our first and most important priority should be our relationship with the Lord. And I can tell you that that relationship is either going to be strengthened or it's going to be faltered, or it will falter based upon what we do with His Word. Someone has said this. Someone has said the key to living the abundant life God has for us is to keep Him in His rightful place as our priority. But I was stopping to think this week, how can we keep Him as our priority with so many things vying for our attention? Our job vies for our attention, our kids vie for our attention, shopping and on the whole list. We could go through a whole list of things that vie for our attention. And yet if we're not careful, we don't cultivate the greatest relationship of all. Listen, I would suggest that the way that we keep our Lord and Savior as a priority is to make His Word a priority in our life. In fact, I wrote this down. When God's Word is a priority, the Lord Jesus Christ will naturally become the primary focus of our life. There's no way that you can get into God's Word on a regular basis and then not fall more in love with God. That's why the sign outside the sanctuary says, love God, love His Word, and love people, right? There's no way you can tell me you love God if you don't love His Word. And there's no way that you can tell me you love His Word if you don't love God. I know this seems kind of elementary, but guess what? If I don't love God, there is absolutely no way that I will ever love people. And so the priority of God's Word is crucial. The Apostle Paul, you know, in Philippians chapter 1, he said that he wanted to magnify Christ in everything that he did. And what we know about the Apostle Paul's life is that after Jesus came in, Paul was different. Everything was different. In fact, he said that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And he's talking about this in Philippians 3:10. He's wanting to know Christ, but he wanted to magnify him. But here's what Paul said about the Word of God. He told the saints at Colossae, in Colossians 3:16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. He told young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is what he's talking about, the word of God. He actually went on and told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, he says, preach the word. See, Paul, when he went to the church at Corinth, and there was a church that was struggling, right? When he writes back to them, he reminds them, he says, hey, I didn't come to you guys in excellency of speech. I came to you in demonstration and in the power of God. He preached the word, and this is what he told Timothy to do. Paul encouraged Titus. In Titus 1, verse number 9, he encouraged Titus to hold fast to the faithful word. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that the worlds were framed by the word of God. James 1 says that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Peter said that the word of the Lord endures forever. John tells us that the love of God is perfected in whoever keeps the word. You want to have the love of God perfected in your life? You have to keep the word. But it's so difficult, let's be honest. Everybody, I got this sign up here. It says the priority of God's word. And I'm looking at a bunch of calves looking at a new gate. Everybody's looking back up here at me. You ought to come up here and take a field trip sometime. And come up here and see what I see sometimes on Sundays when I say we're going to talk about the priority of God's word. Everybody's like, uh-oh. He's going to talk about something that maybe I have not made as a priority in my life. Or maybe you are. Maybe God's word is a priority for you and you're thinking, I don't need this reminder. I've already got it all worked out. But I can tell you that everything in your life spiritually is going to rise or fall on what you do with God's word. God's word was a priority for these devoted followers of Christ. And so this morning I want to rapid fire, share with you some reasons why I believe that God's word should be a priority in my life and in your life as well. And so if you're a note taker, here we go. Number one, God's word should be a priority in our life because it's an essential ingredient in our spiritual rebirth. It's an essential ingredient in our spiritual rebirth. In fact, you think about it, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Listen, we don't study the Bible necessarily to become biblical scholars. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, and this was a long time ago, I was 13 years of age, I was an angry boy. I can tell you honestly that God's Word did not immediately become a priority in my life. It did not become a priority immediately. In fact, I have a Bible in my office that was given to me by the junior high teachers at Calvary Road Baptist Church down here in Alexandria, Virginia. They gave me this Bible literally after I trusted Christ. And they encouraged me to get into God's Word. But here's what happened. I was a teenage boy, right? In the 1970s, things happened. And it wasn't, God's Word, I did not rightly divide it. I didn't make it a priority in my life at that moment. But here's the thing. God is long-suffering. He's so patient with us. He should have written me off long ago. And yet He gave me second chance. He gave me a third chance. And a fourth chance, and on and on. I don't know, maybe you'd be honest this morning and ask yourself, what chance are you on right now? How many chances has God given each and every one of us? And so we have to, listen, we don't study it to become Bible scholars simply to learn moral precepts. We actually read and study God's Word so that we can seek God Himself. Listen, this is where we discover the mind of Christ. I always tell people, you know, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus in Philippians 2:5. And I always tell people, listen, if you want to have the mind of Christ, here it is. Have the mind of Christ. In fact, in John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, notice what the Bible says in John 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then it says in verse number 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Folks, the Word of God brings us into new spiritual life with Jesus Christ. If you have a relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you. It was the Word of God and the wooing of the Holy Spirit that brought you into that relationship. If you think that you entered into some relationship with Jesus Christ apart from His Word, apart from His Holy Spirit, that's a different Jesus than I don't know about. I don't know about that Jesus. Because the Bible is pretty clear when it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, look at 1 Peter. I had you turn there. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and drop down. I only want you to look at one verse. Because this is good news for us when we think about God's Word being an essential ingredient in our spiritual rebirth. Notice what verse number 23. Look at verse 23. It says this. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now, what does it say in your Bible? By the Word of God. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, flip over two more pages to 2 Peter 1. Flip over a couple more pages to 2 Peter 1. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1, 2, 3, and 4. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And it's kind of an introductory salutation or greeting here. And he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to his glory and virtue. Notice verse 4, whereby are given unto us. Notice what it says. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice the phrase, exceeding great and precious promises. This is referring to the new and everlasting covenant that you have, the new and everlasting covenant that I have in Jesus Christ. And notice, it's his exceeding great and precious promises found where? In his Word. His promises are found in his Word. That's where we read about his promises. Last week, remember, I reminded us all that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's our mediator. He's our great high priest. He's our intercessor. He does all these amazing things. But the Bible also says that he is the Word. Oh, he is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as of the only begotten of the Father, John said, full of grace and truth. Listen, his Word has life-giving power. It has the power to bring spiritually dead person back to life, and it has the power to renew and refresh a recommitted believer. A lot of people talk to me about salvation and rededication. Listen, if you're living your life right now and you know today on July the 29th, 2018, that you are further away from God than you were yesterday, today ought to be a day of recommittal. Thank you, someone, for making a holy grunt. If you are further away from the Lord Jesus Christ today than you were last week, last year, last month, it doesn't matter what the date is, what the time is, I'm going to suggest to you that the reason you're probably further away is over that period of time, whether it was a day, a week, a month, or a year, or 10 years, I'm going to suggest that the reason you're further away is that you've spent very little time making God's Word the priority of your life. See, Jesus will never be your priority until His Word is a priority. And so we have to make it a priority in our life. God's Word should also be a priority in our life because it is the spiritual bread that sustains our lives. Look at Matthew chapter 4 with me. Flip over to Matthew chapter 4. I want you to see this passage from God's Word. Matthew chapter 4. It's the spiritual bread that sustains our life. And in Matthew chapter 4, Let's just begin right there, verse number 1. Are you there? All right, look at verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. I guess I'd be hungry too. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every," what does it say in your Bible? "But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Again, think about this thought from 2 Peter 1:4. If our souls are designed to be nourished, right? If our souls are designed to be nourished by God's exceeding great and precious promises, then we ought to get into those exceeding great and precious promises. See, these words that Jesus is saying to the tempter, to the devil, these are not mere human words. These are God words. In fact, Travis read Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, and it says that the word is quick and powerful. The word quick actually means alive. It means it's a living thing. It's a living, breathing thing. And so when the Word of God says that it will abide forever, what you need to know is that the Word of God will never cease to exist. Anybody ever thought about that? God's Word will never cease to exist. Long after I've taken my last physical breath on this life, long after we have all collectively taken our last physical breath, God's Word will still remain. His Word will still be true. Listen, we have an opportunity to get to know Christ more through His Word, the priority of His Word. Listen, God's promises are not human. They are divine. They are from God. Listen, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says this, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay," but Paul says, "but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." When I think of the promises of God, I'm mesmerized sometimes. I don't know about you. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about all the promises we have in Christ Jesus? I mean, the fact that we have hope is amazing in and of itself. But the fact that Jesus says He will forgive us, He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness, He will actually remove the wrath of God that we deserve on us. He's actually already removed that, right? So that we should not see God's wrath. By the way, that's something you don't want to see. That's something you don't want to experience. That just if we stopped at those few thoughts right there. How amazing is our great God that He would do all this? Psalm 16:5 says, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance." The psalmist knew this. "And my cup, thou maintainest my lot." If you read Psalm 16 and you go down to the very last verse of Psalm 16, the psalmist concludes by saying this, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Oh yes, there's only one. There's only one who sustains you. There's only one who sustains me. There's only one who holds the world in His hands. And His name is Jesus. By the power of His Word, He holds it all together. All things consist because of Jesus and only Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus Himself said He was the bread of life. And so for us to be nourished from His great and precious promises means that you and I are actually scooting up a chair to the table and eating of that living bread. And the Bible says we'll never hunger if we eat of that living bread. In fact, in John 6, verse 51, notice what Jesus said. He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man," that's good news right there, that phrase, "if any man." He didn't say if the rich man, He didn't say if the poor man, He didn't say if the handsome man, He didn't say if the ugly man, He said if any man. That's good news. I wish we would all wake up this morning If any man, he said, will eat of this bread, he shall live forever. That's good news. If, hold on, it's only good news if you eat of the bread. It's only good news if you believe his promises are exceeding great and precious. It's only good news if you believe what he says in his word. But he says, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of who? How many? The whole world. Let me just tell you something. In case somebody's trying to sell you on a false bill of goods, okay? Let me just correct some theological thinking. 1 John 1:2, when Jesus says he became a propitiation for our sins, for the sins of the whole world, that phrase there in the Greek means the cosmos. That means that his death was efficacious for the sins of the whole world. Not just a few selected, but anybody, whosoever will come to the throne of God's grace and repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ shall be made free. The whole world. So every time you look in Scripture where Jesus says the world, he means the world. He doesn't mean half of us. He doesn't mean that these few over here are going to heaven, and I'm sorry about you, but these folks are predestined for heaven and you're not going to make it. No, he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And guess where I find that? In his word. And we either, here's the rub. I got to calm down. My blood pressure's getting up. Here's the thing. Here's the rub, guys. It's only efficacious if you believe it and apply it. When we were talking about the Philippian jailer in Sunday school this morning, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Not only will you be saved, but your life will be so transformed that it'll transform the life of your home. Oh, do you need to be transformed? Listen, it's the bread. It's the spiritual bread that sustains our life. Oh, God's word should be a priority because it facilitates also spiritual growth. It's not only the ingredient in our spiritual rebirth and the bread that sustains our life, it facilitates spiritual growth. A few weeks ago, we were talking about growing, and we talked about the passage in 1 Peter 2:2. Where Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I was reading the other day, and I always like to look up quotes to see what people say about certain things. And the pastor, author, and teacher of the Bellevue Baptist Church, Adrian Rogers, he once said this. He said, I read other books. The Bible reads me. I read other books, the Bible reads me. What I know about Adrian Rogers is that he knew that his spiritual growth would only come from Jesus through the study of his word. Because the Bible read him. Oh, and it reads each and every one of us. Growing in and closer to Christ is a wonderful thing. It should be celebrated. In fact, the Apostle Paul celebrated growth. You say, where is that in Scripture? Well, in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, in his greeting to the church at Thessalonica, notice what Paul says. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. Because notice what he says. Because your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity, and that word charity is the word agape, referencing agape love. He says, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Things were going well in Thessalonica, and Paul celebrated their growth. The writer of Hebrews makes it also plain about the importance of our growth. In Hebrews 12:14, notice what the Bible says. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, what's interesting to note in the King James here is that word follow actually means pursue. There should be a pursuance in our life to pursue peace. There should be a desire in our life to pursue holiness. That's speaking of growth. It's important. It's important because notice what it says. Hold that up there one more time, guys. Notice what it says. It says, without which no man shall see the Lord. Oh, it's pretty important, our growth, don't you think? But I also know from God's word that growth is commanded. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, he said these words. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we're not growing spiritually, then we're more than likely not spending time in God's Word. That's the reality. I've had times in my life where I used to sit out here and I would take notes. And before then, there was a time when I didn't. And somebody said, do you believe in taking notes or do you just believe in absorbing? Whatever works for you. But here's what I would say is when you come to the Lord's house, you ought to have a desire to hear from God. I mean, let's be honest. I come to worship the Lord. And if we come for any other reason, we're coming for the wrong reason, right? We want to hear from God. And I just know that in my life, and my wife will attest to this, there were times where I would listen to a message and it was like half a step out the door. I had already forgot the message. I was ready for whatever was for lunch. It didn't matter what it was. I was on to the next thought, theme, or whatever, right? And I can tell you, she will tell you, that during those years, there was very little evidence of my relationship with the Lord and very little evidence of spiritual growth. But when I started having a holy desire, a hunger, when I came to God's Word, I wasn't taking notes to be a brown noser or the teacher's pet. I was taking notes because I wanted to hear what God had to say to me. And so I started writing down notes feverishly. Man, I was writing all the time. I was like, and I was thinking, what's going on? But I can tell you, it was during those years when I filled up spiral notebook after spiral notebook of message notes. Right? It didn't matter whether it was Wednesday. It didn't matter whether it was Sunday. I was taking notes. Sunday school, worship, it didn't matter. It was during those times that I was searching God and I was learning more about Him through His Word. And the priority of Jesus became the priority of my life. I'm just telling you, it facilitates spiritual growth if we'll get into it. Here's another sobering thought. God's Word should be a priority in our life because it is a light that provides reliable guidance. It's a light that provides reliable guidance. We all know the Psalm, Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. However, here's a thought I had even just this morning. It only illuminates our way. Think about this. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It only illuminates our way when we use it. Right? It's not going to be a light under my path or a lamp under my feet or a light under my path if I'm not using it. I mean, that's ludicrous, right? It's like, well, I carry God's Word. That's not good enough. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody have a flashlight at home? Anybody? Nobody has flashlights anymore. I mean, these aren't tough spiritual questions. I'm not going to answer you. You have offended me by talking about God's Word today. Thank you. Not on your phone. Everybody's going to pull out their phone and flash. Can I tell you something? A flashlight without a bulb or without a battery is useless. Oh, I got a flashlight. Oh, Pastor, look at me. I got this pretty Bible from Lifeway. You ought to see it. Mine's got duct tape on it. You're like, how dare you treat God's Word that way? Let me just tell you something. I'm trying to hide it into my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm thinking He's okay with me using it to where it's about to fall apart. You say, I got a flashlight? If you don't have a bulb or you don't have batteries in that puppy, it's useless. You may have God's Word, but if you don't open it, don't expect it to light your path or be a lamp under your feet or a light under your path. It's not going to work that way. Oh, it can do that. But you have to get into it. Psalm 32:8. David, the psalmist, he was talking about what the Lord had said to him in Psalm 32, 1 through 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. He's giving you some information. In verse 8 and 9, it's the Lord talking back to David. And this is what the Lord says. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. He said, David, you're not going to go in the way that you think you should go. I'm going to guide you with my eye. Can I tell you, when we follow the Lord's ways, it's usually better. I've tried doing it my way. You know, it's like I meet people sometimes that are like, it's my way or the highway. Okay. Call me back and let me know how that works out for you. I'm going to encourage you, do it God's way. Just follow God's way. Let him be true and every man a liar. We know the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly or completely furnished unto all good works. We know that. We know from 2 Peter 1 that we have a more sure word of prophecy. We know this. And so we have to make it of use in our life. God's word should be a priority in our life also because it's a source of protection and provision. It's a source of protection and provision. In Psalm 119, verse 9 and following, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee," the psalmist said. "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments," speaking of his word. And then verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119, 114, the psalmist says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." 133, the same psalm, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. You know the scene. Moses has passed away, and Joshua is now placed with the care and the leadership of the children of Israel at this point in time. And notice what Joshua chapter 1, the Bible says. In verse 7 and following. See, God's word is a source of protection and provision, but we gotta use it. It has to become a priority. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "Only be thou strong." This is speaking to Joshua. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest," what does it say there? "Prosper whithersoever thou goest." Verse number 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and when thou shalt have good success." Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Listen, good success happens when godly wisdom leads to success in every facet of our life. Bad success robs us of everything we hold dear. You may go into the workplace and you say, "Well, I don't need Jesus. I'm talented on my own." Just remember who gave you that talent. But you can ignore him all you want. You can talk bad about him. You can discard what I'm talking to you about this morning. You can think you can do everything in the arm of the flesh, and you can get the promotion. You can get the pay raise and everything. And you can go on and on and on. But I can tell you that's a type of success that you want no part of. You want success that comes from God, because the bad type of success, it'll rob you of everything you hold dear. You say, "How do you know?" Because I've been there, done that. God's word is a source of protection and provision. Allow him to give you the success that you have always dreamed about. Walk in his word. Draw closer to him. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, God's word should be a priority, and I'm up against the clock, so we have to move on. God's word should be a priority in our life because it establishes and strengthens our faith. You think about the Apostle Paul, one of the saddest passages of Scripture in Acts chapter 20. He's getting ready to say goodbye for the last time. In Acts chapter 20, he says these words. He says, "Therefore," verse 31 and 32, he says, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren," this is what he says. He says, "Here's your hope. Here's your hope." He says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Oh, listen, Psalm 119:28 says, "My soul melteth for the heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." You may be here today and you may know Christ as your Savior, and I pray you do. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I pray that you'll call out upon the name of the Lord, that you'll ask him to forgive you, that you'll ask him to come into your life, that you'll ask him to begin a new work in your heart, and that you'll fall more in love with him and his word. But you may know Christ, and you may not know Christ, and you may be going through a tough time today. You may be going through a period in your life that seems to be a little bit too much for you to handle. You may be sitting here like that this morning. Can I tell you? I want to encourage you. Seek God. Seek God through His Word. Seek God through His Word. He'll bring you through. He'll renew you. He'll strengthen you. He'll build you up in the faith. Listen, God's Word is our source of protection and provision. It establishes and strengthens our faith. God's Word is also useful because it reinforces the promise of His hope. It reinforces His promises everywhere. And then lastly, the last thing I want to tell you is that we ought to make God's Word a priority because His Word is alive and powerful. Back to what Travis read when we started in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. The Bible says this, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When God's Word is a priority in your life and in my life, I got news for you. You're going to be wanting to read it every day. If it's a priority, you're going to want to read, even if it's just a little bit. I tell people, it's like, "Hey, Pastor, you have no idea. I don't have time to read God's Word." And that goes all the way back to the beginning of our message, where we get so sidetracked with everything else. But that's okay. If you say, "Man, I'm so busy. I'm working 80 hours a week right now. I'm on a job. It's going to get better, but here's my situation right now." I want to encourage you to do yourself a favor. Get in your truck. Get in your car 5 minutes early. Could you just give 5 minutes to Jesus? Could we give 5 minutes to Jesus this week? Now, I know I'm asking a lot, because 5 minutes a day on a regular work week would be 25 minutes to Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to be flippant or goofy here. What I'm saying is give 5 minutes, and if you need to, get a little daily praise, get something. Or how about just go to the book of Psalms, right? Go to the book of Psalms and read a section about that long. You say, "Well, I don't have time." Then read a section that long. And then ask yourself, what is God saying in this passage, right? What is He trying to tell me? What is He trying to teach me through this passage, right? Right? And then ask God, how can I apply this in my life today? How can I make it useful today? Not tomorrow. Just do that. Just a little bit. I'm not asking a lot, but would you just commit to give God's Word a little bit of time this week? Because see, here's one thing I know, that as we read the Bible, God is going to use His Word to influence me. But here's another thing. As I obey the Bible, the Holy Spirit is going to use that to transform me. God's Word will influence me, but as I start reading it and as I start applying it, as I start doing what God's Word says, the Holy Spirit then says, He's ready for life change. He's ready to do something big for the Lord. Let's do something big. And guess, just in the nick of time when that begins to happen, guess who's going to rear his ugly head? That old dirty devil. The one who walks about seeking whom he may devour. He will rear his ugly head to try and keep you and to keep me from growing. Listen, when the incorruptible seed of God's Word gets firmly planted and rooted in the good soil of our hearts, things begin to change. James 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Oh, listen, the point is, when God's Word becomes a priority, thoughts change. When God's Word becomes a priority, not only do thoughts change, our talk changes. When God's Word becomes a priority, not only do our thoughts change, you ready for it, and our talk changes, but guess what? Our walk changes. Are you there where you need to be thought-wise? Are you there where you need to be talk-wise? And are you there where you need to be walk-wise? If not, I beg you, I urge you to make God's Word a priority in your life. I want to close by reading this. It's from an unknown author. Unknown author, and this is what he writes. "The Bible is the mind of God. The state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It's a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Jesus Christ. Yes, it will lead you to glory itself for all eternity. Like I said many times, like a little child sings that song, yes, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Now, the reality is, it's either a priority in your life, or right now you're sitting here saying, it's a problem in my life. And God gives us the choice. So I'm going to beg you, make it a priority today. Make the decision. How about doing something for the Lord today? Make a decision to recommit yourself to be in His Word today. Get in it this afternoon. Get in His Word before you lay your head down at night. You having bad dreams? How about fill your head with something good before you go to sleep? You got a bad day? How about fill something good in your life before you head out for the work week, right? I mean, we all struggle with different things. Fill your life with God's Word. Make it a priority. And I know He'll bless you for it.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like more information about our ministry, check out our website at battlefieldbaptist.org or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We'll see you next time.